Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program this week four talented, exuberant, and intelligent players of this game who are going to display their verbal dexterity, their humorous ingenuity as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Josie Lawrence and Chris Neal. Will you please welcome all four of them? And seated beside me is Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the De Montfort Hall in Leicester. And we're going to start the show this week with Josie Lawrence and, a lovely topical subject, Red Leicester. Josie, will you tell us something about Red Leicester in this game, starting now?
My favourite cheese of all time is Red Leicester. So how wonderful to be here in Leicester. As soon as I got off the train at the station, I went straight to one of the many booths that sell this wonderful cheese and said, excuse me.
Oh, Chris, you've challenged.
Deviation, there aren't any booths.
On the outskirts of Leicester, there are hundreds.
I knew what she was saying. She didn't use the word shops, she used the word booths. And I the image...
Oh, you've seen one of these booths, have you?
No, I had the image that she went to a place that sells cheese, and she found one, and she bought some cheese.
A Red Leicester booth, yes.
There are lots of them in Leicester, aren't there?
So I'm giving her...
Oh, you stop.
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt and say that she had an incorrect challenge. She gets a point for that, and she keeps the subject, of course, and there are 47 seconds available starting now.
Red Leicester was actually created in 1962.
Clement's challenged.
No.
No? Can you give us the date, Clement?
There was no date. There was never any other cheese than Red Leicester. Leicester cheese was red. They added some colour material, in the first case carrots, and later something called root of annatto.
But I'm sure I read in a pamphlet in the booth that it was invented in the 1960s.
But there's no green Leicester.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt on this, Clement. You take over the subject with 42 seconds available. Red Leicester starting now.
I'm quite fond of Red Leicester because it's a very proper ingredient for Welsh rabbit. It's crumbly, it isn't hard, it's fairly expensive, but then what you expect in Leicester of cheese.
Paul,
I'm just going to give you the names of a few people.
Paul, Clement, you have been challenged.
I know that.
He's just musing on what might have been.
But I'm afraid we have to play the game. Paul, the correct challenge. It was hesitation, obviously. Oh. And you have 25 seconds. Tell us something about Red Leicester starting now.
Tony Blair's wife, Cheese Booves, comes from around this area. And she was, in fact, born somewhere near Liverpool, which isn't that far away from Leicester. And they both begin with a capital L. Red Leicester...
Josie challenged.
He hesitated after L.
No, he didn't, Josie.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
They were very generous to you when we were here before.
That was a tough challenge.
Yeah, well, he took the mickey
Chris,
bit out.
Chris, I know you were taking the mickey out of me then, Chris, but they did enjoy what you said, so I'll give you a bonus point for that. But Paul...
Suddenly he's won round again.
Paul, it was an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject, Red Leicester, and there are 14 seconds starting now.
The Communist Party in Leicester is a rather small group of individuals. They meet every Tuesday just outside the town where all the booths are. And they decide what they're going to do is overthrow the system. They said, first of all...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was, of course, Paul Merton, who was in the lead, one ahead of Josie Lawrence, and two ahead of Clement Freud, and none, and three ahead of Chris Neal. But Chris, you begin the next round. The subject is Once in a Blue Moon. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
once in a blue moon is how you would describe a fun night out in Loughborough. It really doesn't happen terribly often. Don't groan, it's an awful place. I have been there. Blue Moon is a lovely song by Rodgers and Hart. Blue Moon, I saw you standing...
Paul challenged.
How does it go? Perhaps Chris could sing some for us.
Yeah. That was a comment on your singing, Chris, if you didn't recognise it. Paul, the audience enjoyed your interruption, but you haven't got a challenge when the rules are just a minute. Chris, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. You keep Once in a Blue Moon, and there are 45 seconds starting now.
During a court... Oh.
Paul, you challenged.
Loss of something.
Loss of everything.
Loss of everything.
And 44 seconds still available. Paul, tell us something about Once in a Blue Moon, starting now.
Once in a Blue Moon refers to that incident or incidents that might happen very rarely in your life. For example, you come to Leicester, you walk into the De Montfort Hall, and you see that it's packed to the rafters, which would be like just this on November the 20th when we come. No, it's not that. It's November the 30th.
Josie, you're challenged.
Yes, he tripped himself up then. He
Why?
Hesitated and went, no, wait a minute, it's the wrong date.
Didn't and hesitate he... while I was doing it, I kept talking.
No, you did.
He didn't hesitate while he was doing it, darling, he kept going.
Yeah.
You see, yes.
Yes, all right, I don't...
It was a good try, but I mean, no, I don't think I can even be generous on that one. So... we know who the audience want to win, don't we?
Sorry, Paul.
No, don't apologise. He gets a point.
Oh.
He's happy. Gets another point. He has 29 seconds. Once in a Blue Moon, starting now.
Manchester City.
Clement challenge.
Reposition of November.
Yes. As you're quite right, in your previous speech, you said to use the word November twice.
Mm.
And so, well, listen, Clement, you have a correct challenge. You have 28 seconds.
Hang on. Can you do that retrospective challenge?
Yes, if you speak in that round, you mustn't repeat anything that round.
I just said Manchester, and he challenged me for repeating November.
No, but he was doing a retrospective challenge.
Oh, right, okay.
In the sense that he could. You have used the word November twice in this round
on
the subject of Once in a Blue Moon.
Yes.
So Clement has technically a correct challenge.
Does anyone want a fruit gum?
So I'm having to listen and be fair and correct when the rules are just a minute. Clement, 28 seconds is still available. Once in a Blue Moon, starting now.
Once in a Blue Moon is the number of times Leicester City win a football match.
Chris, you challenge.
A hesitation.
I'm afraid so, yes, he stopped. So you take it over. 20 seconds. Once in a Blue Moon, starting now.
Blue Moon, I heard a recording of by Frank Sinatra many years ago, and I drank a glass of champagne as I listened to it. He played. No, he didn't. He sang. With.
Josie, yes?
I think he said listen twice.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You did. Well, listen, Josie. So you got Once in a Blue Moon, and you have 11 seconds starting now.
The reason people say once in a blue moon is because blue moons are very, very rare.
Oh.
Oh, no!
Yes.
I can't even say very, very.
That's right. It's so natural to say very, very, to emphasise. And
I know.
It's the first time players of the game invariably do it. And I can't let you get away with it.
No, you really can't. I want to do it properly.
Paul, you have a correct challenge. Once in a blue moon, 6 seconds, starting now.
Football fans around the country often are heard singing this particular lament when their team goes behind. It goes something...
Well, at the end of that round, Paul Merton is in the lead, but he's only two ahead of Chris Neil, and he's only one ahead of Josie Lawrence, and she's two ahead of Clement Royd. That's the order, that's the sequence, and who begins the next round? Clement, it's with you. Would you take the subject of upping the ante, starting now?
This is something Noel Coward was very fond of. It was called goosing. You get your middle finger and you thrust it in the colon.
Chris Neil.
Are you talking about upping the ante?
In this part of England, your
Clement, you
father's
have
or mother's brother or sister is pronounced
Clement, sorry, Clement, I have to interrupt you, because you have been challenged by Chris Neil.
My challenge was that he said forefinger and then he put his thumb up.
I know.
The rest of it I was fine with.
it's not a valid challenge. I mean,
I think it's very valid.
Why is that not a valid challenge?
Talking about Orr Brown.
Well, no, you wouldn't, because if you were talking about Orr Brown, because you deliberately put your, he said, forefinger, and you put your thumb up like that. I know it's not visual, but it is radio, and the audience here can see it. So it wouldn't be. So I think you'd agree with my decision, wouldn't you, audience? Chris, you have the subject. You have 51 seconds on upping the ante, starting now.
I remember when I studied Othello at college, the only quote I could remember was tupping your white ewe, which slightly rhymes with upping the ante, and that's all I've got to say about it.
Yeah. And Josie challenged.
It doesn't even slightly rhyme.
It doesn't matter. Tupping, you challenge first. Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation.
Well said, Josie. Well spotted, I'm really
annoyed. It doesn't rhyme.
Tupping and upping rhymes?
It doesn't.
Tupping and upping rhymes.
It does, yeah.
It
upping
does.
And tupping, yeah. Josie, you had a correct challenge. You have the subject, 42 seconds, upping the ante, starting now.
Upping the ante, upping the stakes. That's what a lot of people like to do, and those are the kind of human beings that I do not like. Why do you need to up the ante? Why has the up the ante got to be upped?
Oh, that was lovely.
What? Why are we up at the ante?
I did go Italian, sorry.
Deviation from English.
You warned me about going Italian.
I said, don't go Italian. Everybody does.
You had a correct challenge, yeah. Paul. You have 29 seconds. Upping the ante, starting now.
Hey, upping the ante. It means to get a hold of a situation and think to yourself, OK, I'm so far ahead here that I think I'm going to raise the stakes. Aim for something higher. If I achieve that, think of the marvellous things that will ensue. People will say you should stick to what you know, but no, you must.
Chairman challenged.
Repetition of no.
What you know, two words, different words. What you
same
know,
sound.
No.
Hmm? Same sound.
No, no, I'm sorry.
No, that's right.
Stick to what you know.
Use in that context. When he said no, we knew it was K-N-O-W.
Yeah.
And when he said no then, we knew it was N-O.
Yeah.
I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Paul on this one and say, upping the ante is still with you, Paul. 9 seconds, starting now.
My father was a very keen follower on horses. They were sick animals.
Clement challenged.
Follow of horses.
Hmm. Yes, he was followed of horses.
And
he didn't ride them, did he?
Yeah, he's a jockey.
I don't believe you, Paul.
Yeah.
I think you meant to say following the horses.
Yeah.
Clement, you have the benefit of the doubt, so you now have upping the ante in 5 seconds, starting now.
When I was told I was coming to Leicester, I was pleased because my wife's people are from very near here, Watford.
Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's equal with Paul in the lead, followed by Josie and Chris Neal. And Paul, we'd like you to take the next round, or start the next round, stating the obvious. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I am on the panel of Just a Minute, sitting next to Sir Clement Freud. And also on the other side, we have Chris Neal and Josie Lawrence. But of course, in the middle, we have somebody that we couldn't do without. Trudy Stevens, who blows the whistle for us, indicating.
Chris Neal challenge.
There was repetition of we have.
Yes, you did say we have, we have.
Yes,
right. So, Chris, a correct challenge. You have the subject. 45 seconds, stating the obvious, starting now.
Stating the obvious. Dale Winton is not the marrying kind. Anne Robinson has had some work done. Nicholas Parsons was in the Boer War. All these things are stating the obvious. Why do people feel it's absolutely necessary to lay on? It's like when they go, oh, do you know what I mean? Well, yes, I do know what you mean. You've just said something really easy. Oh, yeah.
Paul challenge.
A repetition of know what I mean.
No. Know what you mean, yes, there's two means there. Right,
yeah.
Paul, you have the subject back again, stating the obvious. You've 26 seconds, starting now.
Football commentators, I suppose, can be accused of stating the obvious when they say, what a wonderful goal that was, as you see the ball clearly rippling into the back of the net. But then, of course, if they are talking about particular sports, they have to assume that not everybody has the expert knowledge that they have. Indeed, if you look at lawn tennis at Wimbledon...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of look.
Yes, you did say look before.
That's why it's repeated.
Clement, 7 seconds, stating the obvious, starting now.
2 and 3.
Paul challenge.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
No.
No.
You hadn't even gone for half a second.
Oh.
6¾ seconds on state of the art. Clement, starting now.
If you start straight away, it is not hesitation, nor deviation. In no way could it be called...
So Clement Foy was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's equal with Paul Merton in the lead, then Josie and then Chris in that order. Josie, we'd like you to start the next round. Oh, a lovely subject. I'm sure you can go on it. What are you blowing for?
Getting my breathing right.
Yes, you're breathing right. What the butler saw is the subject. You've got 60 seconds if you want it.
Yes, please.
And you're going to take in a deep breath now. And you start now.
I know quite a lot about what the butler saw because my auntie Florrie went into service in 1910 to a big, big house. Oh, no! It was a big, big house.
And it was a very, very big, big house, wasn't it? It's a tough game.
It is a tough game.
Yes.
I want to die.
Call you challenge, correct challenge, 52 seconds. What the butler saw, starting now.
It was a play written by Joe Alton, that marvellous playwright from the 1960s, who wrote several plays entertaining Mr...
Clement, challenge.
Wrote.
He wrote plays.
I think he said wrote and written, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said plays twice.
But he said...
No, he did play and plays.
He's always right.
One was a single and one was a plural.
Oh, Lord.
He wrote...
Did he say buffalo?
No. You did say
I can say buffalo if it would help.
Go on.
No.
Buffalo.
45 seconds, Clement. Correct challenge. With you, what the butler saw, starting now.
The most tragic thing is a blind butler. Poor sod, he goes round life seeing absolutely nothing. People undress in front of him.
A poor challenge.
How did he get the job in the first place? You can't have a blind butler, can you?
You can have a dumb waiter.
You can have a... Josie, that deserves a bonus point. I'll give it many a bonus point for that one. And probably the family, a blind butler might work for a blind family. But doesn't matter, you had a correct...
What, to help them out? If we're blind, what we need is somebody else that's blind. But we have to pay. Well, we think we're paying them, and God knows what we're giving them. Let's get a blind chauffeur while we're about it.
Oh, dear. It gets better and better, doesn't it? But you're quite right, Paul. He did hesitate. So you have the subject, and you have 35 seconds starting now.
It's one of those old farces, but it translated very well when it was staged in London in a decade between the 70s and the 50s. He was unfortunately murdered by his lover, Kenneth Halliwell. I'm referring, of course, to the gentleman that I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, who I can't repeat his name because that...
Clement Challenge.
Joe Orton.
Remember.
All right, we'll be doing this occasion. They enjoyed that, Clement, so you get a bonus point for your interruption. But Paul was interrupted, he gets a point for that. Keeps the subject, 18 seconds, what the butler saw, starting now.
In 1895, the Lumiere brothers showed films on a screen to the inhabitants of Paris. But before that, what the butler machines were very popular. You would put in a small coin, turn the handle, look through an aperture, and see moving images. And these machines...
Josie, challenge.
Machines. Repetition.
Yes, machines. Oh.
Five people noticed that.
They were concentrating on the humour.
It takes a lot of concentration to find it sometimes, doesn't it?
Right, yeah. 3 seconds. Josie, you've got him in 3 seconds to go. What the butler saw... Starting now.
Butler saw an awful lot because wealthy people took absolutely no...
So Josie Lawrence was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And she has moved forward. She's still in third place, but she's not far behind Clement Freud. And she's only 3 or 4 behind Paul Merton. Chris is behind them, and he begins the next round. Chris, I've got a subject here. If I could do it all again... You can take it any way you wish. 60 seconds, starting now.
If I could do it all again was something I heard myself saying only yesterday, Sunday. Obviously, if you're listening to the repeat, it was earlier this morning. And it was concerning the way I'd cooked Sunday. Oh, I'd said Sunday twice.
Right, Paul challenged.
It was going to be really interesting as
repetition
well.
Repetition of Sunday.
I know there's too much of Sunday, I'm afraid. So, Paul, you have the subject of If I Could Do It All Again, and you have 50 seconds, starting now.
If I could do it all again, I would, but this time I'd employ a blind butler. Because I think it's very important to have domestic staff around you who have no idea what's going on. You'd be able to tease him by pouring soup on his head and telling him it was raining. That's the sort of thing I would do. Also, you could...
Clement challenge.
Three do's.
Three do's?
Yes, three do's. If you do this and do that.
Yeah.
32 seconds, Clement. If I could do it all again, starting now.
If I could do it all again, it would be repetition. There's...
Chris, your challenge.
He sort of just stopped.
I know, because...
He's well, riding he, the laugh. He got his surfboard out, he'd waxed the surfboard, he was gliding across the top of it.
He had a very good line, got a very good laugh. That's enough for me. Over to you. And Chris was the first to challenge. So, Chris, hesitation, 26 seconds. If I could do it all again, starting now.
So what I was trying to say, we had roast beef and potatoes cooked in the same way. Cabbage, glazed carrots, gravy, horseradish sauce and Yorkshire pudding. But I got it all arse about face, really. I put the beef in too early and then the cabbage in.
What was this challenge?
This is quite educational.
I'm sorry, but he did say beef twice.
You did say beef twice. You talked about the beef before.
I did.
Yes.
I knew I did, but I was just trying to explain things. Things to people.
Oh, mate.
Sometimes it's not about the points, it's about the education.
Yes.
This is an educational show. Mm. People come out of this recording saying to themselves, well, that taught me a lesson.
Mm. 14 seconds for you, Josie, on If I Could Do It All Again, starting now.
People say if I could do it all again, I would do so many things differently, and I don't believe that. Why have regrets? Why not just...
Paul challenged.
Why?
Why?
Oh, it's why? True, it's true.
It is true.
Yes. Paul, 6 seconds are still available. Tell us something more about If I Could Do It All Again. Sorry, I don't know why, I just read it, and I thought, if I'd read that before, If I could do it all again, that's the subject, Paul, and 5 seconds starting now.
When you've got Alzheimer's, the feeling that you could do it all again comes to you very rapidly. You wake up in the morning, you think to yourself, what day of the week is it?
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he has slightly increased his lead just ahead of Clement Freud. And 3 or 4 points ahead of Josie Lawrence and even more ahead of Chris Neal. I mention that fact now because we're moving into the final round. Clement, it's your turn to begin, so... Oh, this is a good one to finish on. A kangaroo court. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
When a man catches a kangaroo, he is said to have a kangaroo court, which means that he has caught a kangaroo.
Paul challenge. Yeah?
Are you doubting this?
No. But Paul's challenge you.
A hesitation.
It was a hesitation.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yes? Paul, correct challenge. 49 seconds, a kangaroo court starting now.
There's a story that may be apocryphal, but a beautiful, wonderful group of tourists were driving from Australia when they knocked a kangaroo down with their lawnmower. Lawnmower? Land Rover.
Actually, I think a lawnmower would have been more fun, wouldn't it, really? Yes, yes.
It's a longer way to get across Australia.
Yeah, yes.
But leave a neat path behind you.
Josie, you challenge first.
Yeah.
What is the challenge?
Well, he said lawnmower instead of lawnmower.
Which is deviation from going across on the... He couldn't have achieved that on a lawnmower. 41 seconds.
Oh,
Josie, we've got a kangaroo court with you starting now.
There were many kangaroo courts around the Clink and Newgate Jail and many kangaroos... Oh.
Paul, you challenge first.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. And, even if you do slip up like that, I'll keep going next time, Josie.
Mm. All right.
It draws attention to otherwise. 35... 35 seconds, a kangaroo court with you, Paul, starting now.
It means a bunch of people have got together without the full force of the law and decided...
Chris challenge.
Was there a people from before?
No.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. Definitely not. Chris, no. I'm sorry. Incorrect challenge. Another point to Paul. 32 seconds of kangaroo court with you, Paul, starting now.
It's the equivalent of saying to somebody, we will try you without due course. We will be able to say...
Clement, challenge.
We will.
Two, we will. So, Clement, you have the subject now. 25 seconds of kangaroo court starting now.
A kangaroo court?
Chris, challenge.
Hesitation.
I think so, Chris.
Thank
yes. You have 23 seconds on a kangaroo court, Chris, starting now.
So the kangaroo is the judge, and then you've got koalas as attendants, wallabies as ushers, and Australian rabbits, whatever they are, doing other things in this particular court that we talk of. Oh, I say...
Paul challenged him.
A repetition of, oh!
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Long word, wasn't it? Oh,
yeah.
A lot of vowels in that, wasn't there, Nicholas?
I'm over here. And I know you're over there. I was trying to work it out whether...
You're trying to work out where I am?
Listen, you can talk after your lawnmower going across the out back in Australia.
Yeah.
No, I was trying to work out whether it's legitimate to say, oh, is
a... I think it's a proper word.
Yeah, but you...
That
made
man
it so,
thinks so, yeah. But it's a local Leicester word. It's all the rage.
Listen, I tell you what, what's the situation? We've got 13 seconds to go.
I'm always in fourth place.
Strong lead.
Oh, nice.
I think it's fair. We'll give Chris the benefit of the doubt and say you can keep the subject, Chris. And another point, 13 seconds, a kangaroo court starting now.
Clement was talking about a kangaroo being caught. And if it was, it could be braised, stewed, roasted. I tried to talk about that before, got nowhere. And other things could happen. You could even make a soup from the bones.
Clement challenged.
Repetition of talking.
Of talking.
Clement was talking and then talking.
That's right. Yes, you did say
yes, that is
talking,
right.
Clement talking, right. He was going so fast I couldn't quite catch it.
No, I wasn't
right.
Listening.
5 seconds, Clement, for you on a kangaroo court starting now.
A blind butler in charge of a judicial community seeing to...
So, Clement Freud... brought that subject to end, and the round to an end, and the show to an end. He gained a point for speaking as the whistle went. He's in a strong position. Let me give you the final score. Chris Neal, who did so well last time we were in Leicester, but he did finish in fourth place on this occasion. He was a number of points behind Josie Lawrence, who was a real triumph last time she was in Leicester. But didn't get quite so many of the points this time. She was in third place. Second place was Clement Freud. And he was 3 points behind Paul Merton. So once again, Paul Merton is your winner. Thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game. Paul Merton, Josie Lawrence, Clement Freud, Chris Neal. I also thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blowing her whistle with great aplomb. And we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We are grateful to our producer, Talusha Galani. So from our lovely audience at Leicester, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the panel, goodbye. But tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes.